service this evening, Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, Psalm 46 and verse number 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Brother Jeff is going to come and open us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for this opportunity you've given us to return tonight. Pray that you've, Lord, each of us have prepared our hearts for what you have for us. Lord, we thank you always for the grace that you bestow on us, Lord, and your mercy and kindness and your protection. Pray that you give pastor clarity of thought and speech and power of your word, Lord. Pray that all we do and say will bring glory and honor you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. If you would join me in standing, we are going to sing number 2, Glory to His Name.
Take the when we see only clouds.
Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. If we would stand together, please. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Tonight we're going to consider blessed by Jesus' provision for salvation. Blessed by Jesus' provision for salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the chance to meet all together in your house this evening. I ask that you would please be with us in this time, that you would speak to us through your word, and that it would not return void, as you said in the book of Isaiah. I ask that you would help us as we consider the blessings of the salvation that we've received, and that we might rejoice in it and learn something from it. We love you, and ask this all in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Fanny Crosby was born on March 24th, 1820, in Brewster, New York. At the age of 6 weeks old only, she caught a cold that led to inflammation in her eyes, and unfortunately, the doctor's treatment left her blind. And she ended up writing her first poem at the age of 8, and we have it recorded for us. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. And so we saw that even at a young age, Fanny Crosby recognized that though she was given maybe not what we would consider the greatest lot in life, she still believed and eventually would accept Jesus Christ and became a prolific hymn writer, writing over the course of her life over 9,000 hymns. For the glory of the Lord. And some of her well-known songs would be "To God Be the Glory," "Safe in the Arms of Jesus," "All the Way the Savior Leads Me," "Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross," "Rescue the Perishing," and "Blessed Assurance." One time, someone, a well-meaning preacher, told her this: "I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered you so many other gifts upon you." And Fanny Crosby had responded at once, as she had heard such comments before. She said this: "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would be that I was born blind?" She said this, who only saw for her first 6 weeks of life, because she said this: "When I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." From a young age, Crosby learned about the love of God at the knee of her grandmother, who would read to her from the Bible and taught her how to pray. And once she was asked, "Is there a special hymn written for your conversion experience?" And Fanny replied, "I would write many hymns to describe the joy of my salvation, but the one that stands out to me is this one. And she began to sing in her soprano voice, which I will not try to imitate, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed in, through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child, and forever I am." As we consider this evening the blessing of our redemption, the blessing of our redemption that Jesus provided for us through His death on the cross. By way of review, as we go back to verse number 4, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." 2 weeks ago, now we considered God's plan for salvation, that He plans for all to be saved. Not all plan to accept that plan of salvation, but He plans for all to be saved, and He willingly opens the door for whosoever will may come. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And though not all choose, those who did choose Him have received such a great gift, a wonderful gift of salvation. And He predestinated those, verse number 4, who accept Him to live a holy and blameless life. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that the idea of predestination is not necessarily that He chose who would be saved, He chose all, but that all who choose to be saved would live a holy life, would live a holy and blameless life, not for the sake of anyone else, but for the sake of God, before Him, and out of a motivation of love. In verse number 5, we talked about this, that He chose all who accept Him. He chose all that who accept Him are adopted into the family of God. And what a wonderful blessing that because the devil is an unfit father, God terminated his parental rights and gave us a new father and a new inheritance and a new family and a new name. We've been adopted by Jesus Christ, by God, into the family with Jesus Christ. And this is still the introduction, but some Christians still act like the devil's their father. It's just the case, and it's so sad because the devil's an unfit father, and God terminated his parental rights. So why would we choose to go back to that lifestyle? Because of His glorious grace, verse number 6, God has accepted us
into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the need of everyone to feel accepted. It's just a natural need. And in the blessing of salvation that God has given to us, we have acceptance in Him. And we can be fully and truly accepted in the only way that matters, because of the blessing that God gave to us. Verse number 6 is kind of a transition verse that Paul uses to transition from God's plan of salvation to verses number 7 through 12 that we read this evening, to Jesus' provision of salvation. In verse number 6, it's in essence, Paul is saying this: God has given us a close relationship with Jesus. And speaking of Jesus, let me just praise Him for a little bit. He spent some time praising God for His plan of salvation, but now he wants to just praise the Lord for a little bit, for the work that He did on the cross. And so he recounts some specific spiritual blessings from Jesus in what is kind of an inspired rabbit trail. Right? He starts talking about God and he rabbit trails a little bit to the Lord. And then verse number 13, he'll rabbit trail again, even to the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that next week. But it's an inspired rabbit trail. And Paul counts some specific blessings concerning salvation from the Lord. And so verse number 7, we see this: that Jesus provided forgiveness and redemption through His blood. Through His blood. There would be some who would try to discount the necessity of the blood of Jesus Christ. There were some that would teach that it's not necessary, or that not all of it was necessary. But can I tell you, the Bible speaks very highly of the blood of Jesus Christ and how necessary it is and what a wonderful work that it does and why we should accept it. Just a number of verses here. Acts 20, you don't have to turn to them. Acts 20, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Hebrews chapter number 9, verses 14 and 22. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And without the shedding of blood is no remission. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. From all sin. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter into a place where the high priests were never allowed to enter except for one time a year. And because of that, we have continual access to the Lord because of His blood. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. In His own blood. What a wonderful thing. Romans chapter number 5, two more verses. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified, just as if I had never sinned. Why? Because of His blood. Because of the necessary blood of Jesus Christ that did a wonderful work. 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. It is a precious blood that does a great work. And some would try to diminish the necessity of this blood, but just with a casual reading of these verses, we don't have to even do a great and deep study of them. Just with a casual reading of it, we recognize that it is of great importance that the blood from the perfect Lamb was shed for us. It's of great importance and of great necessity. Verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It wasn't sometimes... Maybe there's other arguments for it, but I hear sometimes preachers say that God bankrupts heaven, right? You hear that. But it was out of the riches of His grace. I mean, He's ultimately rich, and He gave all of it to us. He gave it all. Why? Through His precious blood. And how? Through His precious blood. Why? For us, that we might have forgiveness of sins. What a poor life we would live if we had to just live in our sins and could not be forgiven. What a poor life. We would have no hope for the future. We'd have no hope of eternity. We'd have no hope for the present even. But because of the forgiveness of sins, we have all of these things. The redemption through His blood, according to the riches of His grace. Verse number 8. Because of Jesus' grace, we can abound in wisdom. We can abound in wisdom. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Wisdom is the intellectual knowledge which satisfies the mind, and prudence would be the practical knowledge which enables us to handle the day-to-day problems of practical life and living. And it's both that we need. It's both that we need. We need both wisdom and prudence. A man with wisdom but no prudence is one that is always studying and is always theoretical, but is not able to help in real matters of life. Right? They're so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. Right? They're so consumed with books that they can't even do anything in real life. That's somebody that has wisdom but no prudence. But a man with prudence and no wisdom is so engaged with the business of living that he has no time to concern himself with the ultimate things. Right? He's so concerned with the things of this earth that the things of heaven don't matter to him. We need both. We need to have both. Because of the eternal wisdom that God has, Jesus can then give us the wisdom that we need for daily living. Don't we need wisdom? I know I sure do. I make bad decisions all the time. I need more wisdom. And the great news is that Jesus can abound toward us in all wisdom. Why? Because of His blood. Because of the forgiveness of sins that we've received, He abounds toward us in His grace in all wisdom and prudence. Why do we need this wisdom and prudence? To live out the will of God that has been revealed to us. Verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. His will is that all be saved. We understand that from 2 Timothy that He will have all men to be saved when it comes to the knowledge of the truth. And there are many other verses that we've referenced before. But so His will is that all be saved. And this has been somewhat of a theme that Paul has referenced, but it will even be expounded upon in chapters 2 and 3. But God's purpose, which was held secret or mysterious for a time, was that God intended to open salvation to all, especially and including the Gentiles. This is great news because we're Gentiles. Okay, God opened it up, and that was not always the revealed plan. He did not reveal that plan for from ages past, but He has now made known unto us the mystery of His will, that it would be that even the chosen people of Israel would be joined by another chosen people that God chose to save, and that would be all who choose Him to be saved. And so because of these things, God's purpose has been opened now, that salvation is open to the Gentiles. And it continues on in verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. The culmination of the mystery of His will reveals that the Lord Jesus Christ will receive His due preeminence, even though at this time it seems He is not paramount. So it seems that at this time, and as we look throughout this world, as we see people's attitudes toward the Lord, we recognize that He is not the most important thing to a lot of people. God does not matter to most folks, in fact. But there will come a time when all things bow to Jesus Christ as the head of all things. Philippians chapter number 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and hath given Him a name which is above every name, that of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Though it may not seem like it now, there will come a time when Jesus Christ will be bowed before by every single person, Jew and Gentile, believing and unbelieving, those who are repentant and unrepentant. All people of all lifestyles will one day bow before the Lord, whether willingly or not. Willingly or not, His redemption will reconcile nature, the angels, and man with God through the effects of Christ's resurrection. All things will bow and will be reconciled through the effects of Christ's resurrection. Another blessing that we will receive from the One who is head over all is an inheritance. An inheritance. Verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Obtain an inheritance means this, literally to choose by lot, to be appointed as an heir, or used to denote God's appointment of both Jews and Gentiles to partake of a spiritual inheritance through their relationship in Christ. All people have access to a great relationship with God and are chosen to be joint heirs with Christ because of the work that Jesus did on the cross for us. A preacher from New Mexico says this, all this in heaven too. What an inheritance. All of the wonderful blessings that we get here on this earth and that we get to enjoy, and the wonderful things that God gives to us day after day. The book of Psalms says that He daily loads us with benefits. Amen. Daily loads us. That's not a future thing. That's a present thing. He presently loads us with benefits. That word load, I think about a dump truck, right? He just backs it in and loads it up day after day after day. He loads us with benefits daily. All this and heaven too. Man, to get to heaven, and we could certainly preach a long time about what heaven's going to be like and the wonderfulness that heaven will be and what an inheritance that it will be, that one day we'll eventually see our Savior's face and we'll have no more sin, have no more sorrow, and the tears will be wiped away, to walk on streets that are pure gold that you can see your reflection on, and to spend eternity with our Savior who bought our redemption with His own precious blood. His own precious blood. This inheritance is made possible to you by the predetermined plan of God to save any who choose to call upon Him. And then we see this, verse number 12, that the goal of God's ultimate plan is to glorify Him. To glorify Him. This is a phrase that Paul uses back in verse number 6, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And he repeats it again, actually, in verse number 13, I believe, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of, 14 at the end, unto the praise of His glory. Now, he's wanting us to recognize that the life of the Christian ought to be for the praise of God. That ought to be our goal as a Christian, that we ought to live our life so that we can praise God, so the things that we do are pleasing to Him. That's God's ultimate goal. And each person means Jew and Gentile alike. God wants all the world to be involved in the praise of Jesus. It's not the case yet, but one day it will be. All people will be to the praise of His glory. So what are we talking about this evening? We are blessed by Jesus' provision of salvation because we have been forgiven and have been given hope for the future. For the future. We've been given a great hope and we've been forgiven. So what does that mean for those who have not heard about the gospel? For all, because not all have a close relationship with Christ, because not all live to praise Jesus, we must be involved in evangelism, both local and worldwide. Both local and worldwide. And I know that we don't have, because of the times that we live, we don't have necessarily an organized time of canvassing or door knocking, but that does not negate our responsibility as Christians to spread the gospel locally. It does not mean that we're not supposed to tell other people about the Lord in our neighborhood, at our friends, at our job, with our friends, to our family that is lost. It doesn't negate our responsibility just because the church doesn't have organized time to do it. We still have a responsibility that every single person needs to hear about the gospel, needs to hear the gospel so that they might have opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Because not everyone's sin has been pardoned, we must go. Because not everybody has obtained an inheritance, we must give. Because not everybody has wisdom and prudence for daily life, we must tell all people about God, who will have all men to be saved. We must do it. Why? Because not everybody has this blessing of forgiveness of sins and redemption for life and wisdom for abundant wisdom and a great inheritance. Not all people have it. And so we must go, not only locally, but worldwide as well. For those who have received salvation, we have received an inheritance, a wonderful inheritance that we ought to glory in as much and as often as we can. Because it's not something that we deserve, it's just something that's been given to us. It's a blessing. He has loaded us with blessings. We can have abundant wisdom and prudence. We need these things for life, for daily living, to raise kids, to have a wonderful marriage. We need wisdom. To be a teenager in this world, you need wisdom and prudence. You need these things to live. And guess what? You can have it because Jesus has provided it and He can abound toward it. It's not even like we can only have a little bit of wisdom. He's abounded toward us in wisdom. We can have as much wisdom as we want. We can have as much prudence as we want. Why? Because He has made it possible through the blood of His Son. We should live to praise Christ. Are you praising Christ as often as you can? This is something that I've tried to teach the teenagers at different times. Especially when we're singing together. This is one of the best times to praise Christ. Is congregational singing, and I think that there could be made a biblical case that the closest thing we'll get to heaven is congregational singing. And so if that's the case, I think congregational singing probably should be pretty lively. I don't know. Maybe because we're praising Christ who died for us and who gave us forgiveness and redemption. When we're singing specials, it ought to be evident that we're trying to praise somebody who gave His precious blood for us. At all times, we should live to praise Christ. We should live in a way that reflects the great price that was paid for our redemption. Because of the great price that was given to us, we ought to try to, you know, we can't ever repay it, but we ought to try to repay it as best as we can. At every opportunity that we have, we ought to try to praise Christ. Why? Because of the highest price that was paid for us. We have been given spiritual blessings beyond compare. God had a plan from the beginning for salvation, and Jesus provided salvation in a way that nobody else could. Nobody else could have done it the way Jesus did it. And guess what else? Nobody else wanted to do it the way that Jesus did it. Jesus provided for salvation in a way that nobody else could. And next week, as we consider verse 13 and 14, we'll see this, that the Holy Spirit protects that gift of salvation. And we won't want to miss that, verse number 13 and verse number 14. As we consider this evening, the wonderful blessing of redemption and forgiveness. Why? Because of the price that Jesus paid for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful blessings. And we could have spent so much more time just talking about how good you are to us and the fact that you offered salvation. Had that been the only thing you ever gave us, we would have been more than blessed. And yet you choose to give us all this in heaven too. And Father, I thank you so much for that. I ask you would help each one of us to not ever forget that, but that we would live in the light of the great price that was paid for us. Father, I ask you would be this time of invitation, that you would work in people's hearts and soften their hearts toward what you would have for them. We love you and ask this in your name. Amen. As we all stand together and the piano begins to play, maybe you just take some time and just be thankful for the work that Jesus did for you. Or maybe you've not been involved in evangelism as the way that you're supposed to. Or maybe you're not living to the praise of Christ. Maybe you would do some business at the altar this evening as Brother Jared sings verse number 1.
Okay, just a couple announcements. Camp is approaching quickly. It's going to be a combined camp, June 6th through the 11th. This is at the new venue?
Yep.
New venue. So price is $125. Sign-up sheet is available on the back table. Ladies' retreat will be April 16th through 17th in St. Joe, Missouri. There's also a sign-up sheet in the back as well. Brother Greg and Sandy Wagner will be with us on April 25th. And we will have a brown bag that afternoon, so afternoon service will begin at 1:30. Youth activity, May 7th through 8th. It'll be an overnight activity. More details will follow. Be in prayer for the Kratz, Brother Kratz and Joyce Kratz. They're traveling now. Yeah, they're on their way back to the States, so that's a long trek. Say again. In a few hours, okay, that'll be wheels up. Okay. And then don't forget about Cole in basic training with the Air Force down at Lackland Air Force Base. There is a address where you can write him a letter. Those are very important. I can attest to that. Also, Sister Cindy, it was great news this week to hear that.
Amen.
We are blessed people. Thanks, Charles, for bringing that out. So, Brother Reichel, can you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, my God, we
real quick. If we got the parents that are headed, or the parents whose kids are headed to camp, have a meeting right over here by the organ sign. Thank you.